Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where you, the investor, get to listen as Chris Perry grills the best and the brightest in the corporate sector to help you find out who's the wheat and who's the chaff. Listen in.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
All right, welcome to the Equity Guru podcast. This is Chris Parry, and today I'm talking to one of our longtime clients, a company in the technology and health space, Vital Hub. We're talking to Dan Matlow, the head honcho over at Vital Hub, which is VHI on the Venture Exchange. You might remember the Venture Exchange as being that exchange that people used to buy stocks on before the CSE came along and did the Wild West thing. Dan, how are you appreciating the markets these days?
We're familiar with the public markets and we keep moving along. The stock has moved. It's been a little flat lately, so we're not 100% sure that the market is totally aware of some of the value propositions that we got to offer, but we just keep executing our plan and we feel comfortable that we're on the right track here. So we just keep going.
So for someone who has no idea what a Vital Hub is, how would you describe it to them?
Vital Hub is a healthcare software company that's primarily focused, at least until recently, and still that area is in the community mental health space. And we have a two-prong effort. One is through a merger and acquisition-based strategy where we acquire companies that are profitable, break even with a large amount of recurring revenue, and bring those all together under a single umbrella and get economies of scale, as well as the organic growth out of them. So we do the M&A-based work. And then we also have innovative-based solutions in that same space. So we have mental health, electronic health records. And recently, we've moved into the patient flow arena on an international scale through an acquisition we made of the Oak Group into the patient flow arena. And we're extremely excited about that space and what that opportunity does for organic growth. So we have a multi-prong approach to that area. We're big into recurring revenue, and it's software solutions that sold to enterprises, not to physician practices, but more to the hospital-based sector and the and larger agencies.
Got it. So it's a health tech company, basically, but also would a roll-up be an accurate description?
Yeah, roll-up or M&A is the key component. I wouldn't like to say we're 100% focused totally on M&A. It's a big part of what we do. But we also believe that we can bring organic growth into the equation. So M&A brings us a customer base. It brings us a recurring revenue stream. It brings us some really good margin into that. And as we make acquisitions, we find nuggets that we think are readily sold organically as well, so we can commercialize effectively into growth markets. But we're looking to get growth in both of those areas.
So a lot of your acquisitions, I guess, from a market perspective, are what the market would be considered small, $500,000 here, $1 million there. I guess the thing that people overlook when looking at a headline that says you acquired something for so many K is the additional customer base that you can bring that smaller company by making it part of your larger deal.
We're in over 300 customers right now, and it represents a large chunk of the Canadian marketplace that we got some pretty good foothold in. So cross-selling into that base is pretty important to us. So although those acquisitions might be small, like we've done an acquisition as much as well as 200,000 recurring revenue per year, but they're single person operations that we're running. But we've also done them for $3.5 million in revenue where Hynex was when we took that over. So we do get them in that type of size as well. And as we grow, we think we'll get bigger ones as well, and we're constantly looking for those bigger based operations. So although they may be small, we quickly have grown to close to a $9-10 million a year revenue company that's approaching on the $6 million recurring revenue stream. So close to 60% of our market is recurring in nature. So we built a pretty good footprint of customers, recurring revenue, and technology bases in a rather short period of time.
And those customers, those healthcare groups, they tend to pay their bills on time. They're not you're not chasing them around for $10K here and there.
No, government healthcare run agencies probably is, I guess they use the term in our industry, is sticky recurring revenue in the marketplace. So these projects are pretty long-term based projects, and we feel pretty comfortable that they'll remain customers for a long period of time.
Now, these customers are also, I know, difficult to get in the door with sometimes. You have to be a company that they can get past their bosses, and their bosses being, in a lot of cases, the taxpayers. For a small company, that's difficult to navigate. For a company like yours, I'm guessing that that process goes much smoother, much quicker.
Yeah, you know, stability and size help in the market that we do, and also having a presence within that particular organization helps in terms of procurement cycles, in terms of add-on sales and multiple product types of sales as well. We got really good evidence about that in January when we introduced our product to the province of Nova Scotia, when we won a $20 million deal over 10 years. That will ramp up, and investors don't see those numbers yet on the recurring revenue stream, but it'll be $2.5 million of recurring once we start rolling out to customers. I mean, towards the end of Q2, but probably Q3 timeframe when that starts building up into our numbers. But we don't believe the organizations in the former world by itself would have had the large size and scale to get government provincial projects like that. Mm-hmm. And we beat out some pretty big name companies, in that particular area, hundreds of billions of dollars multinationals to get that business, and we're proud of that.
Do you have any numbers around some of the acquisitions you picked up and how their exposure to your business model has helped them ramp up, or is it still a little early for that?
Yeah, well, no, we think we've grown our assets. If you take the value of what we the revenues for all of acquisitions together, and then you show the growth, we think we've grown by about 25-30% organically.
Nice.
Of those companies. So the market might only see ourselves in terms of buying and dilution, but we're slowing organic growth at the same time. Mm-hmm. As we continue to get these assets, and we're getting cost benefits as well in terms of inertia. Our development group, we're about 80 employees. Right now, half of those would be based in Colombo, Sri Lanka, where we do our development group. So we get economies of scale. We got a really strong healthcare technology development group in those areas as well. So we're good at that. And we also have put together a sales and marketing group that these organizations didn't have before, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've put together marketing and sales, and most of these companies are technology-savvy-based companies that didn't have that before. So we're there. We also have a much stronger balance sheet. It's public that's out there, so bigger organizations feel a lot more comfortable. So There's many reasons that we think as a combined group we're much more successful.
Is there any particular hole in your arsenal there that you're really looking to fill, or is it more targets of opportunity as you go?
We're trying to keep ourselves, even healthcare is a pretty big group, and we're trying to stay in the community mental health agency. We think that's a big area that's there. Patient flow is the other area that we're in, but the mental health area crosses into that sector a fair bit because mental health patients are going to be a big issue in our healthcare system as that awareness of that particular sector grows and a lot more activities in that area. We think that's going to, for some ways, clog up our healthcare systems as we figure out how to treat these patients a lot more effectively. So tools that help hospitals and other organizations treat mental health patients a little bit more efficiently, a lot more cost effectively, but still with high quality are going to be in demand. And we have an emphasis in that area and demands on that. So there's lots of companies internationally that fit those particular labels. We're primarily focused in the European marketplace because we have a little bit more affinity to that. Our last acquisition, the Oak Group, was based out of the UK. So we're starting to see some presence in those markets. So we're starting to target those markets. As a big part of our business.
That was going to be one of my next questions was, it's great making money in Canada, but there's a big heaving beast of a neighbor down south and more in Europe. Is there a U.S. strategy?
We have, 15% of our business is the U.S. We'll be selective in that area. Although it's big, the different healthcare system and the paying system is a little bit different. So affinity to that base is a little bit different than here. Although we will be selective, we are looking down there for selective opportunities. We do believe Europe and Australia and the Mideast has a little bit more affinity to what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's government-funded healthcare. The systems are a little bit closer to us, and they don't have as big of an ecosystem as they would in the U.S. for competition, both in acquisitions and competition out to the end user as well. So we just recently announced a deal in Qatar, which we're excited about, and we have a lot of activity going on in the Australian marketplace on the Oak Group product as well. So we expect to see some work happen there shortly as well.
So is the key word here organic growth? I mean, a lot of the market, a lot of investors, especially those that are used to the ups and downs of the cannabis space, look at recurring revenue as nice and all, but, you know, they're looking for that big thing that's going to pop. Is there potential with what you do to get that $100 million project, or, you know, is it more the focus just every month just building on what you have?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think we can hit the big things. We're speaking at provincial ministry levels where you start getting large ticket items. The Oak Group has some really unique IP, which we think is distinct in the market. So we think it resonates in multi-geographies, and we're selling at government levels. We're not selling at individual organization levels. So those are larger size based transactions that you know, that come into play there. So We do believe that, you know, at some point we can hit the big deal to do that. We're not banking on that, but we do believe we can hit on those things. In the meantime, we keep doing our meat and potatoes. We keep making acquisitions. We keep doing our one-off deals. We keep looking at our cost base, and we do it. Software has really high gross margins relative to any other sector. When you're sitting there taking recurring revenue that's at 85% gross margin, and you start bringing those into fruition into a combined entity, you get to recognize those gross margins. So we really like that recurring revenue stream. We really like that with that base. So we want to keep plugging away at that M&A stuff, but it's not about not getting that big deal. We think we can get it as well over time.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast with your host, Chris Perry.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
In the meantime, at a $28 million market cap, you're trading at a 2 and a bit times revenue, which, you know, in the cannabis space would make Canopy Growth a $140 million company. Like, that sort of value isn't really seen around very often in a lot of the growth sectors that are out there.
Yeah, I think investors, like just in the technology and the software world in itself, like as a private company, if we were raising money out there, we'd be raising it at, you know, almost three times what our valuation is right now, based on the optics that people are doing that. And, you know, the private VC funds and the private funds are doing that. So we think, you know, the TSXV doesn't necessarily have a full understanding of what that market potential is.
Mm-hmm.
We think that will change over time as they get some awareness and we start moving into upstream into the institutional realm. But, you know, we give people the opportunity to invest in something like us at a pretty good valuation, and they get liquidity at the same time versus, you know, going into a private co where you might be sitting there for 5-6 years with zero control over your investment. So it's an attractive investment for people if they really understand it relative to other sectors. And we run our organization with industry experts. Our management team is strong. Our board is equally strong with both public and healthcare software experience. We just took a recent investment from some key investors that formed an M&A committee with the Shen brothers, Francis and Tony Shen. And we put together, they're the former founders of Astra, which grew to an $800 million company, again, to an M&A that was publicly traded. So their reputation, and they put their hard-earned money into this equation as well. So we got a good base, a good foundation, and we think we're in a good position.
And in terms of risk, you know, with a diverse product base, government clients, and I'm guessing expenses not vastly outweighing your incomes, the level of risk is relatively small compared to the potential upside.
Yeah, we think we have large potential for growth on many different areas to get the upside hockey stick growth that investors want to get.
Yeah.
At the same time, our risk is minimal. When you look at the valuation that's paying and you look at government-funded contracts with an experienced team, we're not going away anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Our customers are there. This isn't a pre-revenue-based company that's looking to start cash. We're cash flow positive now, getting into the areas of profitability, and we're excited about some of the things that we're doing. So there's low risk relative to anything else that's out there. It's just that the investor has to understand it.
A couple of years ago when blockchain was going, Burko, I think VitalHub maybe had a bit of a run in association with blockchain. Do you think that there's still some market misimpression that this is a leftover blockchain company?
Yeah, there might be a little bit of residual of that. I don't think that much. We do have a blockchain solution that's built on the Hyperledger platform that's actually being rolled out. We actually think it has potential for some growth as well. So we are rolling that out. We're not going to be positioned here as, hey, this thing's going to take off in terms of a blockchain solution, although there is potential for that solution to grow there. There might be a little bit a residual there from that particular angle, but maybe, I'm not sure, to be honest with you, if that's still the case. I hope that investors would see us for more than that, although we think it's a good part of what we do, and we're excited about some of the opportunities, but that's not what we're all about. The business plan is to grow in all areas as well.
What I think is interesting from a share price perspective is that, you know, a year and a half ago, when you were a much smaller company than you are now, when you had much less in the way of assets, share price is pretty much the same. And so you're getting a real value deal right now at having a much more mature, de-risked company that's showing exactly that sort of growth that you were promising.
Yeah, we feel that way. You know, when we speak to institutions now, we're speaking to institutions that wouldn't have conversations with us a year or bit ago. That just wasn't, I guess, the expression, enough meat on the bone at that particular time.
Right.
But, you know, we think we have... We've established meat on the bone through what we've accomplished. We've executed on what we said we would do, and we think we've got an experienced team that will continue to execute on that. So we're excited, but I think you're 100% right. From a risk perspective, for value to perspective, at the share price we're at right now, we think we're good opportunities to take the right investor to understand that and someone who wants to be patient to do what we do.
There's a lack of patience in general in the market right now, I think, in a lot of areas. A lot of people playing game theory with each other rather than looking for things that, if you leave your money there for a year or two, are likely to grow in value. Do you see yourself as being that sort of RSP-worthy long-run play, that reliability and security and delivery on your promises is the core business?
I would not be afraid to put RSP money to, for sure, KFSA money, because I think we get the advantage of that potential growth going through there. But even RSP money is something that we're 60% recurring revenue coming with a government healthcare funded based organizations as being the base, and proven that we're going to grow. So it's not going backwards at all. It's going forwards. You're going to get a lot more money than this and than a 4.5% dividend or a 3% dividend on something that's big. I think as far as a volatile micro-cap stock, we're as risky as you can get on that particular side. So, you know, I never encourage people to, you know, put RSPs or not, but I wouldn't be hesitant on something like that. I think we're good.
Yeah. Well, I wish there was a special category on the TSX for management teams that have delivered on their promise, because I feel like there'd be a lot of investors out there that would seek solace in the arms of such things. There aren't that many around. There's a lot of companies that are, you know, running the sectors, they're running the market, they're running big promo campaigns, but the good old-fashioned business of just making sure your business has an extra digit on revenue every year, I think is one that people have perhaps overlooked, but we'll circle back to as the economy gets more and more uncertain.
Our goal is for investors to make money on this in a gradual way, but we don't want to become that volatile stock that, you know, that gets a good whiff of momentum and people start piling on, and then some people make some money, but then others start losing as it tumbles down again.
Yeah,
right? So
yeah.
We want a steady growth on the way up, keep producing our numbers. We're going to get a lift at some point, but I think when we get that lift, it's going to stay there. It might go down a little bit, but it should be a steady, pretty fast climb, we would think.
Mm-hmm.
A steady climb to where we go as we continue to execute and keep going. We got the template. We got the ability to execute, and it will happen. It'll take a little bit of time to get there.
Are there warrants out there that could potentially give you a cash infusion and help you along?
Yeah, 100%. When we did our first financing round for our first couple acquisitions, that round was there was one run down at 10 cents, another one down at 11.5 cents. That those warrants come due in the latter part of this year, I think September, December, January timeframe, that they come due. And we believe some, you know, they'll either be exercised or not exercised. It's a little bit of an overhang that's hanging over us right now, but you know, those smart investors will understand that as we get through that, everything should be fine. But, you know, the warrants are at 18 cents a share for both those things. But those are, you know, visible around the corner at this point. So we could get some cash. We don't really need any cash right now.
Yep.
We're cash flow neutral. Although if we got that cash, we would put it to work with the creative acquisitions. It's not going into operational money. So we think those would be good investments in our hands. And we think we can take that money and turn it into a lot more money for the shareholders. So we would be happy to recognize that, but we don't need it 100% either.
Well, I'm certainly a fan. I recently bought some in the open market for, I think, 17, 18 cents, which is pretty much where it's at right now. But I didn't buy it because I thought in a week it's going to be 24. I bought it because I think in a year it's going to be 50. I think, you know, you've got to reward the companies that are doing exactly what they promised, and especially when what they promised is growth in an industry that has as much potential for sales as healthcare tech.
100%. Those are the type of investors that we're looking for. And I think most of our investors are of that nature, right?
Yeah.
So we'll continue to do. That doesn't mean that, you know, the light might not go on for a bunch of people all at once and say, hey, this thing actually should be trading at 33, 34 cents or whatever it should be.
Yeah.
Any period of time. And that big jump might indeed happen, but you never know as it goes. But we'll just keep executing. We'll keep working on our plan. Our shares are 46% owned by management and board members here. So we're all in here for the long run. And we encourage investors that believe in us to come join us and see what we can do.
And for those that still are still sitting on the fence, what can they look forward to in the next 3 to 6 months in terms of news flow for your company?
Yeah, I think what they're going to start seeing is just, you know, gradual increases in revenue and gradual increase in terms of margins and gross margin. We're really focused on getting our recurring to be a larger percentage of our overall revenue. So I think when we started this, we were at 35% and we're you know, in the 60% range. We'd like to get it into the 80, 85% range, both through organic growth, because that's where the high margin is. So although revenue is important to us, it's also the type of revenue. So we really want to get that recurring high margin software revenue as a larger percentage of our revenue base. So we encourage users to look at that statistic as we continue to roll out Nova Scotia and continue to make acquisitions that are mostly recurring revenue-based companies as opposed to consulting-based revenue or implementation revenue, well, which, although it's good, it doesn't produce as much margin as that other type of business. We have more acquisitions in our radar screen. We got Nova Scotia, and then we're going to, you know, we steadily have deal flows that are in here, and then we might surprise, you know, people with these provincial deals or these big pop deals as they go through. They're always fewer and harder to get through, but mm-hmm. we do believe that we'll hit on them, you know, all the way through the process here. So just keep going, right? Look at our costs, look at our recurring revenue stream as a percentage, keep making smart acquisitions, keep making organic growth, just smaller deals, and keep looking for those bigger deals that, you know, can make it be game changers.
Good job, man. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
We'll talk soon.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.